Jordan, and this is Yes But Why Podcast. Yeah.
Improv is really popular in Vancouver and Canada. There's a lot of different organizations that do a lot of improv work in schools, like Canadian Improv Games. They have national tournaments, and the kids work really hard to, you know, kind of represent and do a great job. And for me, I actually grew up in the Canadian North. So really all we were doing was trying to stay alive. And we really didn't have time for improv. It was more about dodging moose and bears. Yes, I am actually the Canadian stereotype. I'm realizing this doesn't sound good. But for me, actually, like in terms of my journey to improv, it actually came much, much later in life. Like I was actually in university and I wanted to become a high school teacher. That had been my dream. I'd seen all the movies like Dangerous Minds and like all those movies where all you have to do to change these impressionable youth minds is just kind of, you know, go off, do a wardrobe change into a leather jacket. And then all of a sudden they're going to respect you and you're going to change lives, which will be great. But when I actually went into teaching, it always works. Just change your clothing, people.
I have a leather jacket just in case it's needed.
All of a sudden, I'm going to sit up and listen. But I actually was, you know, growing up, I was incredibly shy, like very, very introverted. And now kind of looking back, I'm like, wow, I was a little bit maybe too introverted. And when I wanted to become a teacher, the principal of the practicum that I was doing pulled me aside and he said, look, you know, you've got to stop crying in front of these kids because they're going to eat you alive. Like, it's like, you need to just get it together. And he said, well, why don't you just go and do like a Toastmasters or, you know, some sort of public course or what, or there's this, you know, thing called improv. You can learn about that. So on a whim, I had a couple of glasses of wine and I just kind of just on it was signed up for a beginner's improv class. And I just went and did it. And I was just in university at the time. And honestly, as soon as I got into that first class, I was like, I just drank the Kool-Aid and I just loved it. It was so freeing to just simply be in a place where you were encouraged to play and have a good time. And honestly, when I think back, like that decision, that drunken decision to take that class in the moment, like, completely changed the trajectory of my life. Like, I'm so incredibly grateful for that. So, but yeah, like it's definitely something like, yeah, it's improv is great.
What made you want to teach?
I think, you know, it's a weird thing. Like, I think when I was in the North, we didn't really have a lot of great teachers up there. And I was also extremely gifted. Let's just say that. But, I was one of those smarter kids. And I used to like line up my, you know, stuffed animals and I would give them lessons on reading and I'd give them tests and make them write essays and things. And the teachers that I had, up north they were just, you know, a lot of times it was kind of whoever they could get. And some teachers were really great. They were new and exciting. And then, most of my teachers were not. Like, I remember having this one teacher, Mrs. Holden. She would come in every day and bring stuff that her horse had thrown up. And, you know, one of the lessons was to kind of draw it. Like, it was just like, what? So I kind of, even at that, you know, young age, I'm like, you know what? I think I'd like to become a teacher. I bet you I could make this quite fun. And there just was something, I think, about being able to, like, I just love learning. Like, I just don't think you can ever stop learning as a human being. And I'm always forever curious. And so I just love the idea of being able to be curious about things and then taking people with you along on that journey of discovering what, you know, how things work and you know, how things happen. So it's cool.
What a left turn that story took, right? You said you're going to do some left turns and that was really, it was like horse puke, but really the journey of discovery, like what? I love it.
I'm getting this domain name. soon as this is over, Margaret and I for /journeyofdiscovery.com. It's going to be streets in Maui. They'll be it'll be very good.
Perfect. I love it. Man, so, okay, I don't have any preconceived notions about Canadians in uh-huh. any way, really. I'm sure if I had any, I couldn't tell you what they are. So, when you say you lived up north and you're a stereotypical Canadian, what do you mean? Like, did you live in a cabin surrounded by snow that no one went to except for your family? No.
No, and I think I don't think there's any one stereotype when it comes to Canadians, because Canadians are highly diverse. I just think talking in terms of maybe what traditional Hollywood tends to portray as Canadian. So, but just so that I actually did live in those circumstances. So, for a little while, but I live in Vancouver now, which is, a burgeoning metropolis. And, it's very different from where I grew up, but no, it was like minus 52 below was kind of normal in the winter. And sometimes you couldn't go out of your house because there was a moose on the front porch and, you know, things like that. But it was great because, you know, you learned to play outside and you did tobogganing, you learned ice skating and hockey and all that other kind of good stuff. So it was great. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that sounds fun. Absolutely. Well, I was like, I've learned about one way to grow up in Canada. And then, so when you, did you get to Vancouver when you went to university?
Yeah, just a little bit before, but yes. And living in Vancouver, it's great. And actually, we just made the move from Vancouver to another little small town that's between Vancouver and Whistler called Squamish. And I absolutely love it here. I'm looking right now at a whole bunch of trees, and it's really fun. So, yeah.
Oh, nice. So, you just moved into a different house, and it's, like, kind of in the suburbs?
Yeah, for sure.
But you can still go and work at Vancouver Theatre Sports, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I go into town a lot to do shows. We do shows Tuesday all the way through Sunday at Vancouver Theatre Sports, and mm-hmm. we've got a beautiful theater on Granville Island. It was designed by our executive director Jay Ono and our board of directors, and input from a bunch of other people, and we just wanted to create an intimate, wonderful theater that was completely designed for improv. And it's a wonderful home. Like, we're really proud of it, and we just absolutely love it. Like, it's, you know, it's got almost a 200 seat theater, and it's right on the water. You overlooks all the yachts and everything in the marina, and we've got a really super sexy bar, which is great. And we and then upstairs we have our classroom for our school, which is the Improv Comedy Institute. And yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful little hub of improv here. We're happy. We love it.
Were you there when it started? Like, were you working there from the ground floor?
When we built our theater, we've actually moved a few times until we created our own home. Like Vancouver Theatre Sports started almost 40 years ago in Vancouver. And we've got some amazing alumni like Colin Mockery and Ryan Stiles are we're really proud to have them as our alumni, and a whole bunch of other people as well. And we had an original home at the City Stage, or became known as the Back Alley Theatre. And that was kind of just where improv was actually just starting. Like, it was just kind of really taking off, and there was, you know, it was such a new art form, and there was lineups around the block and all that other kind of great stuff. And I wasn't there then. I started to become aware of it as things went on, and then we moved to a couple of other places until we actually scrounged our pennies and built our absolutely beautiful improv center on Granville Island. So, yeah.
How long have you been working there?
I've probably been an improviser for like 20 plus years, believe it or not, which obviously means I started when I was 9, 29 mm-hmm. now, so you mm-hmm. know how it is.
That's why I asked about the children who do Canadian improv. I get it.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah, I've been doing it for about 20 years. Yeah, it's just been absolutely amazing. I'm super, I honestly can't gush enough about it. I just, if people want to talk about improv, I'm like, just give me a call. We'll talk like hours and hours and hours about it. So
did you get right into the teaching of it after you sort of completed the program? Were you immediately like, I want to teach this? Because you were planning on being a high school teacher, right? And then you took this class and then left turn, as we've established you love to do. What
I do love.
What happened then? Like, how did you reconcile everything? Like, you just take classes? Did you start doing high school teaching? But then tell me the story.
Oh, it's a good story. Well, I've had a lot of different careers over the years, which might sound flaky, but it actually isn't. There is a path to it. But I did end up teaching high school, and then I just kind of wanted a bit more of a challenge. I've always been that person. Again, it's that probably stems back to that curiosity and just wanting to grow and develop. And for some reason, I just had an interest because I was always drifting towards helping the kids that, you know, maybe had been dropped out of school or kicked out of school. And then for some reason, I just thought, you know what, I'd really like to work with offenders. And so I ended up working in community corrections and working with a bunch of high-risk offenders and violent offenders and running social programs for them and writing pre-sentence reports and things like that. And then from there, I did that for quite a number of years. And then I was seconded to teach at the Justice Institute here in New Westminster. And essentially, that's like it's a school that's devoted to kind of first responders. So it houses our police academy, corrections academy, paramedic academy, those kinds of things. And it's kind of a really strict, hardcore, no-nonsense sort of institution where they do good work and just kind of training all those important people. So I taught there for about 5 years or so and rewrote some of their curriculum. And then I was like, you know what? I was supposed to go back into the field to help more back into working with offenders. And I think I just kind of looked at myself in the mirror and I was just like, you know what? I just want to play. I think I sort of had a little bit of burnout in terms of helping people. And I just was like, you know what? I just want to focus on just having fun, bringing joy and maybe just kind of teaching joy. And so I just went back. I did some real estate to make some cash because Vancouver is all about real estate. And then I just thought, I know, it's kind of different. And then I thought, I got this pretty cool opportunity. The executive director, Jay Ono, asked me if I would actually create a school for our company. We'd sort of always been teaching classes, but they were very ad hoc. They were very much we kind of have enough people to run a class, we'll run a class. And, you know, sometimes there was a curriculum, sometimes not. Sometimes the teachers just kind of taught what they felt. And so there was sort of a lack of consistency with that. And along the way, they'd also asked that I essentially coach their rookie league, which is sort of our up-and-coming team, the team that we're coaching. And they're you know, very serious about becoming professional improvisers, and they really want to get onto our main stage. And so I just thought, you know what, I think we need to kind of identify what our core values are as a company in terms of what's our artistic vision, what outcomes do we want our students to have when they finish our training. And so we struck an education committee. I went to them for feedback and then essentially developed a kind of completely revamped, like just tore up the old program and completely revamped a new program and created one. And it started 4 years ago. We're just going into our fifth year, and it's called the Improv Comedy Institute. And we just wanted to try something different. And we really wanted to have that philosophy that improv is for everybody. We know that some people are going to want to end up taking improv to go on to be, you know, to get onto SNL or to go to Second City or end up in Chicago or whatever it is. But we also know that sometimes people just want to, you know, it's the people like me when I first started that they just wanted to take improv to be more spontaneous or, you know, be better at parties or to just, you know, be better in a panel interview or be just kind of, you know, just put some joy and laughter and play and Instead of focusing so much on, like, I think in our world, we focus so much on, in schools especially, you focus so much on like what you got wrong as opposed to what you got right. And I really wanted a school that really focused on celebrating, you know, what they're doing right, and just celebrating every kind of move that they make. Because I always say, it's like, it doesn't really matter the outcome, like of a show or a workshop or whatever, because you're so much stronger for having done it than, you know, even if it rocked, that's great. What did you learn from it? If it didn't rock, that's amazing. What did you learn from it? It's always about celebrating that yay learning to get people growing and enjoying the art form and what it can actually do to their lives. So,
yeah. You know, I actually do that a lot, even like with my own personal life. Like, I'm always, you know, it occurred to me the other day that when things are going not great, like when I'm not loving it, when it's not the best ever, I'm usually just looking out for the life lesson. I'm like, okay, cool. I get it. Today wasn't awesome. Where's the lesson?
We always talk about, like, you when we're doing our posts and things and after shows, it's like, what's the tip for next time? And then I think it's also really important for them to focus on what really worked, because you have to reinforce, like, to me, it's like, if, especially for students, if you're just, you know, they always want notes. They always, just give me the notes. Like, I can take it. Like, and I want 400 notes. And I'm just like, well, you know, that's, to me, that's just going to paralyze them. And for me, like, if I instill that fearless mindset that, you know, that they're not afraid to make a mistake, or just that, you know, that they can really celebrate their inner cheerleader and that they can just have that confidence it doesn't matter. Just, we're playing. There's no script. You know, we're essentially, as improvisers, doing people's worst nightmare on stage. Like, for us, we do, one of our shows is theater sports, which is the competitive format, and, you know, and it's that, for them to just kind of realize that what we're doing is people's worst nightmare. You know, we go out on stage, there aren't set teams, you know, so you maybe don't know the person you're playing with, so they're brand new to you. You know, we send you out on stage, there's no script, you're challenged to things in the moment, our audiences are given scorecards to judge how funny your scenes were or whatever it is, and most of our audiences, especially, you know, late at night, have been drinking, and so, you know, these are people's, you know, what people kind of wake up in cold sweats over, and, you know, for them to simply celebrate just going out on stage and doing it, like, that's really that's the joy in it, because you're fearless and you're just confident and you're like, you know what, we're gonna go and have a great time, and this audience has probably come to a comedy show for a reason, and we're gonna make sure that they have a great time. And if they're, you know, sitting there and, you know, they've come because they're going through a breakup or having a bad day, or maybe they're on a first date, like, we want them to have a great time. And if we're just in our head worrying about making a mistake and being all fearless and tentative, we're not going to give them that amazing show that we're capable of. So,
yeah. Yeah. I'm always like, why worry about notes at a show? This is the fun part. I'll give you notes in rehearsal. That's the work. This is the fun. Go do the thing we've been trying to prepare to do.
Yeah.
We exercised your brain. Now go win the race with it.
Well, and I think that there isn't, like, it's not an art form that you can, like, be perfect. Everyone's like, I want it to be a perfect scene. I'm like, I don't know if there is a perfect scene or a perfect, you know, there's always, if you really want to micro minutia a note, I'm sure you could find something, but then really that's taking away the joy of it. Like, the joy is just that spontaneousness of being in the moment and having a good time. So, one of my favorite things at parties is when people are just kind of letting loose and just telling stories about things that happened to them and their embarrassing moment stories. And I just love that, where people are just sharing and having fun with each other. So,
yeah, it's nice when people let down their guard. You know, I think that that's one of the best things about improv is, you know, taking off the mask that is, I'm worried what people are going to think about me, and just talking to people.
Yeah.
you know, because you have to trust in improv. And if you don't trust, it's not going to work as well. So you really have to work super hard to both trust and be trustworthy. And if you really get that going with your teammates, oof, I mean, that stuff can be, that's the gold right there. When everybody's having a good time, even if I don't get all of it, or if my, like, you know, hoity-toity comedy sensibilities think that A should have gone before B or whatever, who cares?
There should have been a little bit more object work in that scene. I just, like, who cares? It was hilarious. We had a good time.
The was that the like, third beat? Really?
Yeah.
That was it? I saw that on BuzzFeed yesterday. No.
I mean, I know the audience was doubled over laughing, and that one woman was laughing so hard she gave birth in the front row, but seriously, I have some notes.
Integrity, people.
This is art. This is art.
Yeah.
We have the best jobs in the world. We're so lucky.
I know. Sometimes I will, when I'm teaching people and they get really in their head about stuff, or like, my favorite is I like doing intensives. And when I'm in the, when, you know, I like taking care of the people during the intensive, and knowing that on Wednesday, most people, like on a Monday through Friday intensive, Wednesday, people are going to start to crack. So I like trying to talk to them, get them through it, move forward, and then just try to open yourself up. Let it be, man. Let it be.
Yeah. I know. It's so hard. It's that, you know, it is that mindset that's so important. That's such an important part of performing, you know, and we're so hard on ourselves, and I don't know where it comes from. I don't know if it does sort of come from just, you know, traditional education things where, you know, you are so worried, you know, it's that thing of you're so worried about getting, you know, an X over a check mark, or, you know, and two X's is, you know, soul crushing. I don't know, but I just think just celebrate what's working so we can focus more on that. And then we'll slowly change the things that we need to change along the way.
I think some people just won't get out of their own way. And so, those people usually don't make it through like an improv 101. I teach 101 classes, and from the sounds of the rookie league, it sounds like that's an early level improv crowd too. So there's a certain level of like figuring out the basics that you have to work through. And I love that stuff. It's my favorite. I think it's the best. Mm-hmm. I'd much rather teach beginners than people who have been, you know, doing improv for a long time. Not that I won't or don't, but, you know, just the new joy, the excitement, the like, hey guys, let me show you this magic. And then there I am showing them magic. Like, it's amazing. And showing them the magic and then showing them the strings. See? Like, yeah, and then they're like, oh, wait, what? I'm like, yeah. That fun stuff is good. And then also, like, idea of like some people just really need to learn how to talk to people. Now it's funny because talking to you, if you had not said that you were shy up top, like I legitimately would have been like, oh yeah, this gal's gregarious and she's like me in that I have always been loud and proud and walked into a room and commanded it and just did what I wanted and then like walked out and dropped the mic. Like that was me forever. That was me when I was 5. That was me when I was 10. That was me when I was 15. All the time, you know, but, and it's hard.
Oh, sorry. Good. No, you go ahead.
I'm sorry, the back and forth going ahead's making me laugh. Now I've lost what I was gonna say. Say what you're gonna say.
Just keep going, it's good. No one notices, it's good.
I'll edit this out.
I dare you to keep it in. It's authentic.
All right, what are we talking about? Oh my God.
I think we're talking about how you go to parties and drop a mic.
Right. Yes. That's a hilarious. Yes. What I was saying was, when I am teaching, I love to talk to people who don't have that kind of life, like who are not just automatically gregarious. Like, it's harder for me to teach students who are like me, who walk in and just want to be a performer, and I just show them how to be a performer in this particular technique, and then they just do it. I like the people who are unsure, the people that are like trying to figure something out. I especially love the people like yourself, I guess, who are on a journey and are like needing some sort of guidance to move through it. Oh, yeah, man. If I could change my last name to Miyagi, I legitimately would. Like, I just love that. Like, so right now, it sounds like, too, you're really good at like coming in and grasping all the million artistic ideas that everybody are throwing at the wall and making something of it. You created the syllabus, right, for the improv school, and you're the director of education there now. What kind of connection do you have with the students? Like, are you meeting with people for them to decide whether or not they're going to take classes? Do you like teach in intro class, like, hey, check this out for 20 minutes, or meet the teacher or something like that?
These are good ideas. I'm writing these down. Meet the teacher.
Steal it.
Well, it's in terms of the day-to-day, we actually have a school coordinator, and she runs the day-to-day and sort of does all the frontline operations. I tend to be much more in charge of the bigger picture in terms of the structure and courses and where we should sort of take and grow the school. The school really took off. We kind of weren't expecting it to, but I think we've put over 1,300 students through the school in 4 years, which for us, just kind of in a single room classroom, it was a pretty significant undertaking. And I think what it was, like, one of the things that I feel we did really well was just our intro class. Really, you know, it's not called intro to improv or anything like that. It's just called spontaneity, just after the Keith Johnstone kind of concept of just, you know, being loose and creative. And I really wanted that first class to be very accessible for absolutely everyone. And I think because of that, we've ended up with this hugely diverse group of people that are showing interest in our school and in our classes. And one class had 7 PhDs in it. Which was probably the smartest class we've ever taught. Everyone had to use the big vocabulary for that one. We always get a nice mixture, and a nice mixture of, you know, actors wanting to have that skill, but then also people that just, you know, they're kind of they're dying inside in their corporate job, and they just want to just open up and, you know, be frisky and free and play. And one class was one of my favorites. There was this team of ladies, they all registered together, and they were in their 80s, and they were part of the seniors' dance team. And they just committed to everything. Everything was hilarious. And then they came up to me. They go, "Margaret, I'm going to be late because we're doing a video. Actually, we got booked for a music video." So I was like, amazing. So because of the improv, they got, you know, sort of booked for that. So. I still really love kind of dropping into classes. I like to mentor the new teachers to make sure that the curriculum for our core series, our first series, is very consistent, so that the philosophy and the improv basics are just kind of the same, like, from class to class, so that way when they complete the basic core series, if they want to go on to our more performance level classes, then, you know, they're much more coachable because, you know, they have an understanding of what we're looking for in scenes. And then for me, I spend most of my time coaching the Rookie League, which is essentially after people have gone through all of the training and the ICI, then what they do is we hold auditions every 6 months. And it's a great deal. I feel like they audition. Everyone has to audition each and every time, and then we pick people for the rookie league. They work together as an ensemble, and they're essentially there's some classes. I teach usually a couple classes a month, and the classes just are kind of more ad hoc based upon skills that we maybe need to clean up for our shows. But really the thought behind the Rookie League is that people at a certain level, they just simply learn by doing shows and getting feedback. And, you know, they have their own show. It's on Sunday nights at 7:30. They have a huge following. You know, they've booked commercials off of it. We get casting directors that come out and, to see them, and they've got a great attitude. They're hugely talented, like crazy talented. I just absolutely love watching their shows. It's so fresh, and they're just so fearless. And it makes it super, super fun. And then of course we do have some of them that are starting, you know, that have been pulled up onto main stage, which is such a thrill for me to see as well. Just, you know, how they do up there. So yeah. Proud improv mom for sure.
So when you built the, syllabus for the program, what like philosophies is it born of? You said that your level one was inspired by the Keith Johnstone idea. Is it Keith Johnstone throughout, or are you using other people's ideas or building upon your own? Where did you come up with the, and I'm sure it was, you know, by committee, but what is the philosophy of improv that you guys are teaching?
Well, it was such an important discussion that we had, and just around, it's hard to kind of identify what exactly is our style, or what is kind of our core. We just kind of boiling it down into core, what are our core beliefs, our core kind of things that we just think are really important in scene works, for in order for maybe a student, if they end up on main stage, for them to be successful. And I think Vancouver was kind of fortunate and unique in that it was kind of this, it's got a very kind of diverse community where people have kind of either come from other places or have trained other places, that kind of the styles have somewhat kind of morphed together. So we do have some people that, you know, some of the original players of theater sports were trained directly by Keith Johnstone, and they're just wonderful performers, and that led to a huge influence on our style. We had people that came from Second City in Toronto, and though that kind of mindset of sketch, kind of improv, you know, kind of improvised sketch is really big in our philosophy as well. Other people like myself have trained in Chicago at IO and different other places too. So I think all of those kind of we're kind of a bit of a melting pot, and a lot of these different sort of philosophies kind of have come together. But I think that kind of for us, really, it's improv is a lot about just simply telling a good story, that the stuff that's happening on stage matters, you know, and I think one of our keys is that the improvisers tend to just have that fearless mindset, that confidence on stage to just not worry about making mistakes, you know, to really understand the importance of listening to each other. To trusting your own ideas so that you offer them out, and then also just simply trusting the ideas of others, that you're not going to just stand there and judge an idea of your fellow player. You're actually going to accept it wholeheartedly and just kind of go, hell yeah, it's the best thing I've ever heard. Let's go for it, you know. And, you know, adding all the other kind of elements of character and you know, environment work and story and all that kind of those kind of improv basics. And I'm sure, like, they're prevalent absolutely everywhere, so it's not unique to us, but for us, it just simply was just kind of going, yeah, these few key things are the things we're going to stress. And then as people grow, because we do want people to become their own artistic director too, I think that people, you know, as you get experience, you know, you need to kind of go off and kind of see what the big improv world offers you. You know, you should definitely, we always encourage people to go, you know, go train at Loose Moose, go to UCB, go to Groundlings, go to Bats in San Francisco, go to IO, you know, go to everywhere, go to Austin, go to all over the place, and go learn, bring back. We'll add it to the mix. So, yeah.
Are your shows short form or long form or both?
They're both, actually. Our signature show is theater sports, so it's that two teams, sure, battling it out for points. And that honestly is so popular. It sells out every time we run the shows. They, you know, they sell out Friday, Saturday night. And then
we love competition. We're just a big fan of it. We were from the gladiators to gentle improvisers. As long as there is some sort of battle to the death, we'll take it.
Well, up here we just, in hockey, we're like, oh, it's like hockey. So you get guys coming, it's like hockey. Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
So theater sports definitely for us has been a huge reason for our success. And we're part of the International Theater Sports Institute as well. So, for that, we love doing genre. We've done a lot of, our main show is usually kind of genre-based. We did Murder on the Improv Express, which was a parody of the Agatha Christie novel. We've done Throne and Games. We've done... parodies of, gosh, you pretty much name it. We've done a parody of it. And then we're also given a lot of leeway to, you know, create our own longer form formats. And we have a particular show that we can essentially bring a format and challenge the other players to. And it's our long form space. And sometimes our shows really are sort of a mixture of both. Like our one of our favorite formats is called Scared Scriptless. And the first 45 minutes is short form. And then the second, after the intermission, the second half hour is long form, and it's kind of a nice mix. It gives a little bit of to the audience. It gives a little bit of what they maybe want, which is a short form, and then it gives get the long form for the players, so you can kind of also just have a really good time with it too. So yeah,
I remember we love I coached a troop one time, and told them. The unfortunate thing about what you're doing is that improv is most exciting for you and not the audience. And you need to make it exciting for them. You're going to have more fun than any of us. Okay? Absolutely. Hands down. So you need to make sure we also have that fun. How? Up to you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. And for us, it's just so many shows as well. And we want to make sure we have bums in seats. So we need to make sure that they're getting a good show and that the quality is really high. And we've been lucky. We have really talented people on our main stage. And so we're able to kind of hopefully touch wood, pull it off and have a good time and show them a good time. And everyone has a good time. The bar's open. We'll all have a good time. Let's go.
So when you were first, and maybe it's just there at Vancouver Theatre Sports, like, is the setup that there are schools that people take classes at and then they audition into shows, or are there, like, independent troupes performing around the city also doing that kind of stuff? Like, what's the whole scene like?
The whole scene's really exciting in Vancouver right now. Mm. It's, you know, there's it's really grown and it's gotten quite diverse as well. And for me, I just think that that's so incredibly exciting. Like, one of the things I just loved about studying in Chicago was that, you know, it's a 24/7 improv city. It seemed like, anyway, and you know, where it shows it on Wednesday night at 11 o'clock are sold out. And I would just love to kind of see something like that for Vancouver. Quite a few really good places to study improv as well. There's Blind Tiger Comedy and Instant Theater, as along with our Improv Comedy Institute. And there's a ton of independent companies as well. There's, besides Vancouver Theater Sports, there's The Fictionals, there's Sunday Service, you know, people are also forming their own little troops as well. Like, I know out of the Improv Comedy Institute, there's a lot of our students that maybe didn't get into Rookie League, or they were in Rookie League for a while and now they just want an additional challenge, or maybe they're currently in Rookie League and they'd like to kind of create their own shows because they want to maybe do a format that we're not doing, or, you know, they just want to keep their skills alive. So, you know, there's lots of shows cropping up just all over the place, and it's so exciting to see, and it's a great quality, and it's great to see so many shows, you know, packed all over the city on even something like a Sunday night. So, yeah, it's exciting.
Are those other smaller shows, do they have stages and stuff, or are they just, like, doing it at bars?
You know what? It's a mixture. Like there's a lot, like there's the one thing that Vancouver does face as a challenge is because real estate is so expensive and, you know, it's really hard for arts organizations just to have, you know, to afford a space of your own. Like that's why we're so incredibly lucky, like to have our own theater on a beautiful island. You know, some of the other shows, they do have designated venues or they're maybe renting out a bar or have an agreement with a bar or a coffee shop or performance spaces at the back of restaurants, those kinds of things. It's sort of the different, I think the different venues kind of lead to different types of shows, which is kind of cool as well. So, but yeah, it's exciting.
So for you, since you mentioned that you're like forever a student, like always learning stuff, what is your thing right now? Like what's the thing that you're, what's your life lesson that you're in the middle of? Are you working on a particular kind of improv thing? Are you honing some organizational skills? Because it sounds like you have management in the bag and you've got the artistic. So you're juggling those two things. You're full time at the theater, right? You don't have another job.
I don't have another job, but I'd love to have another job. I should get another job. Do you have any suggestions? What should I get now? I've had a lot of jobs.
No. I'm not trying to make you work more. I was just saying, like, you're so deeply in it. So you must have, you know, as the ebb and the flow of life lessons goes, like, do you know? And it's okay if you're not cognizant of it, because we're not always cognizant of where we are in the flow of our own lessons. But what do you have anything that you can think of right now that's like a thing that you've been focused on, that you've been into?
Well, I think it's a weird, I'm just like, I'm busy on Indeed right now looking up another job, but the job time between like 3 a.m. to 6,
you're so
I'm not working
busy.
But you know what? I actually do kind of feel like now that the school is sort of up and running, we're going into year five. And at the end of year five, essentially, we'll do a little 360 review and just kind of see, okay, we're doing okay, but how can we do better? And I think that will yield a lot of information on directions where we want to go. Like, we would really love to get a sketch program up and running here because we're really known for improv, but maybe not so much sketch. But I think it would be a nice addition to what we do. But I think for me, I think once kind of the improv baby is kind of like, you know, it seems to be running a lot on its own, I definitely would like to do a challenge for myself. Like, I was so impressed. I helped, I don't know if you know Stacey Halal. She's with Curious Comedy in Portland. If you don't know her, everyone just find this lady. She's just the most inspiring lady. Like, she's just fabulous and she's generous and she's just everything I want to be. But she did a solo improvised fringe show, where she played, Ruby Rocket, and she played, kind of a hard boiled, film noir detective. And, she invited just guest improvisers in, which is such a risky thing to do. People you've never played with before. And they've never seen your format or done your format before. And she was just amazing and just so inspiring. And I just thought, you know what, that would be a neat challenge next. Is I've never done a fringe show. I just want to be one of those people that's over Facebooking everyone going, come see my fringe show. I want to hand out flyers at a fringe. Like, I think that would be the next step, is to just, you know, to sort of take the focus off others and see if I can, and just kind of see where might be an interesting step, just to kind of try something on my own. I've always worked as part of a team or a duo or an ensemble. So it might be kind of neat just to kind of see, what would it be like if it was just me? Oh my God, I'm so scared already. Edit this out.
No, there's so much. It's funny. I was thinking the same thing. I'm kind of in a weird, you know, limbo because I've got the new baby. So there's really like, I can't do a lot of stage time and I'm definitely teaching less. So I'm very like, oh, where's my creativity coming? Right. So And that it is born the question of, like, what is my voice? Like, what do I have to say? And it's so funny because you get in the mode of helping other people find theirs. And I could help anybody at any time. Like, I am confident in my own teaching ability to do such a thing. But for myself, like, sometimes, you know, you become different people as you get older and you ebb and you flow. And based on the lessons, you're somebody different. And it's like, who am I and what do I have to say about life? So I've been trying to take notes and write things down. Every time I have an observation that I find different from my previous observations, I try to keep them all down. And I wonder, you know, since you switched from being a high school teacher in what I can assume is a bureaucratic city or state situation, what with all the high risk people you're working with. But like now you're in such a different world with the theater stuff. Like, how is the world different? And like, how are you responsible for changing it in a positive way? Cause you're doing the good stuff, right? I mean, improv, it's the salve of the human world.
But you know what, to me, and you touched upon it earlier too, just there is just something so, I don't know the word, if it's satisfying or just, it just makes me so happy when I see people like the brand new baby improvisers, like they've just come into a spontaneity class, they're all nervous and scared, and I can see that they're scared. And then by the end, they're just like, it's like a weight has been lifted and they all look, you know, just refreshed, and they're all like chatting together. And then they're all, like, do you want to go to the bar? Do you want, you know, and let's go see a show together. Is anyone want to make a Facebook group? And like, it's just like, you could just see that they just, it's exhilarating. And it's interesting that just, you know, our simple improv mindset and exercises just can bring that much joy to people. And it's just, I feel so honored to be able to kind of let, you know, to give that gift to people. Yeah. And I think for me, doing that, I think it's, you know, I think I'm on a similar journey as yours. It's just like, okay, I've been giving and nurturing, which is great. And I will always do that because it's such a blessing to do, but it's just like, it's also now it's like, okay, what's my voice? You know, what's my thing? What's my, like, if I kind of like think of improv when I tell my students, it's like, be your own artistic director. What is it you love to do in improv? Do you just love long form? Do you just love playing the game? Do you love sketch? Like, then you need to go and do that. And I think for me, it's like I've been, you know, nurturing a lot. And so now it's just kind of having a little bit of quiet time and going, what would really just kind of be like, bring me so much inner joy to show up and do? You know, what type of show would I want to create that just would be challenging and the audience would have a great time and I would have a great time? And it's just like, I think right now I'm kind of drawing a bit of a blank. So yeah. Just trying to figure that out. So yeah.
It's funny. I find that I was watching something where, you know, there was advice being given on some television show, and it was like, you know, the best thing you can do is to give help to somebody else because that will fulfill you. And I appreciate that advice when it's given to a person who does not have the impetus to do it, who isn't like, oh yeah, I should do that. They're like, whoa, you're right, I should. Whoa, okay. Whereas with you, like, you're giving of yourself from the beginning. You're like trying to be a teacher, trying to help people, trying to find ways that you can help people, helping as many people as you can. And it's the opposite side of it where it's like, you need to figure out what you are now and not what these other people who you've helped along the way are. I am excited for your journey, and I look forward to hearing about whatever fringe show you put up.
Me too. Well, if your listeners have any ideas, just send them along.
All right. No problem. Fans of Margaret, yeah. If there's something she does and you love it, mention it to her. I like things to say, I like to say, you know how the old adage, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. I say the opposite is equally true, which is if you do have something nice to say, say it.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. If you think something, say it.
I think that's so, I love that.
It's like,
that needs to be on a t-shirt or something.
That's, yeah.
I love
it. Yeah.
I mean, think especially in this world, there's so much negativity and it's just like, I just think, why save it? Why, like, just things like that, you know, it's just say it. That's such, oh, I love that.
Well, people are always nervous in the same way that, like, when we teach level one classes, we're talking to people and they're like, but what am I going to say? And you're like, literally anything, any words, tell me some words. That's fine.
Yeah.
What you just said was good. It's like, okay, well, you two haven't met each other. How about you sit down and talk to each other and meet each other? We're going to watch. Go. And then they just have a regular conversation. And then you're like, oh, look what you did. You did a scene. They're like, no, I just talked to someone. Yeah. That's it. You did it.
We're improvising. We improvise. I know. Improv is in real life. It's all around us. No, yeah, one's going into Tim Hortons to order donuts with a script.
You really aren't. And if you are, you get some troubles, deeper problems than what we can handle right now. But we support you. We hope someday you can get donuts on your own.
It's so weird. It's the hardest things that people, like, I find newer students or even students with experience, like, they just have a hard time being boring or just trusting that they're interesting to watch on stage. Just having a conversation about cereal or whatever, and yet it's just it's not acknowledging just their own power or presence on stage. And once they kind of discover that, you know what, I'm watchable, I'm amazing to watch on stage just by sitting on a chair reading a book, it's good. So
I feel like it's almost like dating, where, like, if you're trying real hard to look cool, you don't look cool. Like, if you're trying to get attention from whomever and you are acting weird and looking weird and in an effort to be cool, no. Like, but when you're yourself, that's when people like you. Same with audiences, yeah. Man. Same situation. Yeah.
No, it's completely true. It's amazing how far charm will get you.
I know. I told you earlier how I quote-unquote did stand-up. Yeah. That's all that was. That was just me charming 25 people in a room into smiling and clapping for me. That I didn't tell jokes. I don't even know if I said anything funny. But they liked it.
You know what? Sounds like that's your fringe show, too. I'd love to see it. Just charming. The charming stand-up.
I wish. I'd love to continuously be charming. Thank you, Margaret, so much for chatting.
No worries. Thank you. You're awesome. I'm so excited. So, yay!
Yeah, yay. You know what? So a second ago, you were talking about your other students and how they have a hard time, like, acknowledging their worth and stuff like that. And sometimes I forgot about this and I wanted to bring it up, was the idea that, like, now, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 40. So that's I'm giving you my cultural reference points. Okay. So when the younger generation, though, there's things like YouTube, their whole lives, people have been doing performance art online their entire lives. They've been watching it. Right now, people play video games and other people watch. If that's a thing that people are interested in, improv is fine. Like, people will watch it, right? Like,
that's so, what a great example.
I mean, but it's just like there. But what I mean is, with reference to what you were saying, is your students have a different way of looking at what performance is, because there's people performing, like, we're a whole generation of people right now who are constantly on display, both in an acknowledged way and not acknowledged. I mean, right now we're recording a conversation that we're having and putting it on the internet. It's relatively egotistical. Now, I acknowledge my ego all over the place. I'm taking photos of myself and putting them everywhere. I talk about myself in the third person when I write the posts on the website. That's right, audience. That's what I do. But, you know, there's a certain, like, that's the world that we live in. That's what happens. So I can see how it would be tough because there's a sort of like facade to that kind of performance. Whereas in improv, there's a lack of facade. And it can be hard to drop that facade when it's like literally your whole life.
That's such a good point. Yeah.
I went down a super deep rabbit hole.
No, honestly, just like so much to think about. I'm just gonna be thinking about it all night long when I'm looking for that next job, so it'll be good.
I'm excited
my new job. I'm on Indeed right now on the Craigslist later.
Your people at the theater are gonna be calling me, why did you tell her to get another job? We needed her to be, oh man.
So I seem to think that I could do more. Am I lazy? Oh, my.
Oh, my God. How can I judge myself in a new and different way? That's what the solo show's about.
Yeah. I need to do more.
10 ways I'm terrible.
One day, mommy will love me. One day, I'll do so much good.
Oh, man. Oh, that's so funny. Ugh. Listen, Margaret, it's been a joy to chat with you. I really appreciate you being on the podcast. You have been just a wonderful guest. And I look forward to posting this up and having, you know, more Canadian listeners and also maybe having some people here in the States know more about cool comedy options they have when they travel up to Vancouver. I'm excited. I think it sounds super cool.
Amy, come see us. Vancouver Theater Sports. Come on down. We have a great time. www.vtsl.com. Come see us. We'll be fine. We'll have a good time. Yes, come on, Amy. Come on. We'll have a good time.
Unassuming website ever. That's the most Canadian part of the whole thing. It's like, it could be called like vancouvercomedy.com. Could have been. Could have been. Nope.
Could have been. Nope. Nope.
Very understated.
Love to meet in person, but thank you so much for asking me. This has been absolutely so much fun. I laughed so hard. It's good. I don't have to do my ab exercises tonight. Thank you very much.
Oh, whatever I can do to stop people from doing ab exercises, that's what I'm here for.
Thanks for listening to Yes But Why Podcast. Check out all our episodes on yesbutwhypodcast.com or check out all the content on our network, HC Universal, at hcuniversalnetwork.com.